Dearly Father, I just thank you so much. We can just be in your presence, Lord. And I do thank you, Lord. I thank you for the music. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. And I thank you for moms. And so, Lord, I just pray that you just be with us today, Lord, as we open up your word and we learn about some awesome moms of the Bible, Lord. And I pray as we look at these three women, Lord, that we would see in them just the beauty of their dependence upon you and how they draw upon you for strength and how you provided for them. And I just pray that any mom that's sitting here who's at wit's end right now, Lord, and at the end of her rope or tired, that you would just bless her. And I just pray for all the moms here, Lord, that you'd bless them. And I pray for anybody that's here, Lord, as we lift up the name of Christ, that you would also just make yourself known to them today, that they would put their faith in you, because you are an awesome and mighty God. And we praise your name. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. Oh, come on. Is that bad? Huh? Happy Mother's Day, right? Right? All right. Where would we be without our moms? Right? None of you would be here without a mom. There's only one person that existed as a human being without a belly button. You know who that was? Adam. After that, everyone has been born. All of you came from a woman. Every one of you. And some of you gave birth to another child. So you know how the process all works. I can't say that I've watched the birth of three women, but I can say that I've never birthed a child. I've only watched it. And I'll tell you a little story. The first one, I was right there. Joshua, I was there. I saw every angle, every noise, I was a part of the whole process. When Jacob was born, I stayed at Sharon's shoulder. I said, hey, I'm good to go. I know what's going on that end. I'm going to stay right here. And when Joe was born, I was in the corner of the room, like, go, girl. You got it. And I always said if there was a fourth child, I'd just stay in the lobby. Like, I know what's going on in there, and I'll be there for the first diaper. But that's just reality, right? That is an amazing thing to watch a birth. If you've never seen one, and to see the birthing, I was blessed to see the birthing of all three of my boys. I was there. I so proudly, look at now, I'm just reminiscing. I was in a room when Joe was born, and there was four other dads. And they're all, the first dad, he's putting the diaper on, because you know you get that first diaper. And he's like, this is my first son. The next guy, this is my first son. Another guy's like, oh, this is my second son. And I proudly stood there and said, this is my third son. Amen. Third boy. My boy. And I'm putting the diaper on him. The first diaper. And the last diaper I put on him probably, but that's what mom was there for, right? No. Today we take time to celebrate those hardworking and encouraging, dedicated people that shaped and mold us into the people we are today, and they are moms. And maybe you're like me, and I can say with all sincerity that it was mom who has probably influenced me the most in my life. The most. My own mother endured hardship, tough times, did everything she had to do to protect my sister and me and take care of us. Even if that meant moving 2,000 miles across country to escape where she was at and what she was going through. She did it, and she did the impossible. I mean, we had no money, and she made non-existing money stretch. I mean, I just think about all the things that my mom, she scrimped, she saved, she did. She was there for all the bumps and bruises of life, and until this day, she is still my greatest cheerleader. I love my mom. Love her. The second mom in my life is my wife, Sharon. She's downstairs doing what? Taking care of kids. She raised three of her own boys. She also made money stretch, amazingly. Took it right out of my hands. just controls it. Good mom. Made homes out of small places. You're a military family. Some of our houses were really small, but she made it work. She made it work. She put up with me. She tirelessly cared and protected for her boys, and she still does today. Ask any of them. She is there all the time. She never stops. Never. Never stops. And I'm blessed to have these women in my life. So I hope you're blessed by the moms that you have. This morning I want to look at three women in the Bible who what I would call are awesome moms. Awesome moms. And two of them you probably never even heard of. Yeah, unless you've read through the Bible. So this message this morning is titled, Awesome Moms of the Bible. Awesome Moms. That's just really creative, isn't it? I always get over my creativity. I just can't name something. You know. The first one, Seraphith. It's like Mary Beth Seraphith. And you can find her in 1 Kings, Seraphith. Can you say that? Say Seraphith. You ever heard of her? No, you have never heard of her. If you've read the Bible, though, you've come across her. She's in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 24. And what she was a single mom trying to make it. Do you know any single moms trying to make it? There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them in our country. My mom was a single mom for a while trying to make it. If you could describe her in words, I'd say she was faithful and dedicated. The Lord knew her and sent Elijah the prophet to stay with her. And you have to remember, this is a time when the prophets are only speaking. God doesn't speak to people. He only speaks through a prophet to somebody. So when you heard a prophet coming, you knew that was God coming. That was the voice of God that was coming. If something came out of Elijah's mouth, that's who God was talking through. So here comes Elijah, the prophet, to stay with her. And Elijah finds her at the city gate gathering wood. A great famine had swept the land, if you know the story, because God has said it's not going to rain because of the evil that Ahab has done. And remember, Ahab is married to Jezebel. So that's the opposite of a good mom, right? And as a result, Zarephath is at the end of her line. She's done all she can to provide for her son. She's collecting wood for one last meal. One last meal. It's all she has left. She only has a handful of flour and a little oil, and she can only make one cake. One. As she's gathering the wood, Elijah arrives and asks her to get him a cup of water. And then she's faithfully going to go get this man of God some water. He asked her to bring me back some bread. Now, think for a moment where she is. This is all she has. And God is asking her for what all she has. All she has. She has nothing. And God is asking for her nothing. Just think about that. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you think, I can't go on one more step as a mom. That I'm tired, wore out, and I've just made enough. I've just made it. I can't go any further. I don't know if you've ever felt like that. I'm sure my mom felt that way many times. She got to the end. You don't think you can go on any further. Yet God is with her. He's speaking to her through a prophet. He's with her. He hasn't forgotten her, but he hasn't rescued her yet from her situation. But he knows because Elijah's there. She says, as the Lord lives, I don't have anything baked. Only a handful of flour and a bit of oil and a jug. Just now I was gathering a couple sticks in order to prepare him for myself and my son so that we could eat and die. Then Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go and do as I've said. But first, make a small loaf from it and bring it out to me. Afterwards, you may make some for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord God of Israel says. The flour jar will not become empty, and the oil jug will not run dry until the day of the Lord sends rain onto the surface of the land." She did what Elijah asked. She could have said no, but she did what Elijah asked. She trusted in the word of God, and she displayed great faithfulness. And I love how the Bible says this. If you just look at a couple verses ahead, it says, the flour jar did not become empty, and the oil jug did not run dry, according to the word of the Lord he had spoken through Elijah. God was faithful to her and provided for her. I have watched many moms trust the Lord when they have nothing left. They've seen the oil and the flour run out, and they're still trusting the Lord. And God has provided for them in those situations. When they didn't think they could make it, God provided for them. He cared for them. And this morning, I just want to encourage you. I just want to encourage you, like this widow, I just want you to trust in the Lord, to put your faith in God, even when you got nothing left. Just give trust to God that He's faithful. To the rest of us, this awesome mom gave out of her poverty. Think about that for a moment. We give out of our wealth. She gave out of her poverty. She had nothing. She gave all that she had. She gave sacrificially, and she truly is teaching us it is better to give than to receive. And we can trust God in all circumstances. Amen? What an awesome story, huh? All right. Another awesome mom is Hannah. How many of you have heard of Hannah? All right, good. About half of you. Hannah can be found in 1 Samuel chapter 2, or in chapter 1, and her prayers in chapter 2. And I love her story because Hannah, she cannot have any children. And her husband has other wives. This is a time of in the culture in which they had several wives because it was important to have children. If you didn't have children, your nation died. So this is an important time. To have children was so important. So here's poor Hannah. She can't have any children. Yet all the other wives are having children and letting her know she doesn't have any children. So you can imagine how she feels. And so every year they'd go to Shiloh and they'd worship the Lord. That's where the tabernacle was. And she would spend her time fasting and praying for a son. Just give me a son. In fact, she was praying so earnestly that the prophet Elijah, or not Elijah, but Eli, overheard her and thought she was drunk and told her to stop drinking wine. Then she tells him that she was just pouring out her heart wanting a child. And he blessed her. But in the middle of her praying, she makes this vow that if God was to give her a son, she would dedicate it to the service of the Lord. That if you give me a son, I will give him back to you for him to serve you. Now imagine a mom making that kind of a prayer, that kind of a vow, that I'll get something, but I'll give it up just to have a son. She goes home. 9 months later, she gives birth to Samuel. And if you know anything about Samuel, there's two books named after him in the Bible, 1 and 2 Samuel. He became a great prophet, a great prophet. And we can read about his story. And she raises him for about 3 years, and then she takes him to the tabernacle and gives him over to Eli to finish raising him. So she weans him just to the point where he can make it on his own, and she gives up her one and only son that she prayed for. And I love how Samuel grew up to be a great prophet, and God blessed Hannah with 5 more children, 3 boys and 2 girls. But her dedication and faithfulness to the Lord is an example for us all. And she treasured the time that she had with her children. No matter how short or how long, she treasured every moment that she had with her son. It was God's gift. And ultimately, she realized that all children are God's gift and they belong to the Lord and not to her. That's what she realized. And you can read her prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 2, 1 through 10. And if you want to see a woman who just totally believes in the Lord that he is sovereign, listen to her prayer. Hannah's prayer is one of my favorite in the Old Testament. Hannah prayed. She's given her son over to the chief priest, Eli. And this is what she prays. My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is lifted up by the Lord. My mouth boasts over my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not boast so proudly or let the arrogant words come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and the actions are weighed by him. The bow of the warrior is broken, but the feeble are clothed with strength. Those who are full hire themselves out for food, but those who are starving hunger no more. The woman who is childless gives birth to 7, and the woman who has many sons pines away. The Lord brings death, and he gives life. He sends some to Sheol, and others he rises up. The Lord brings poverty and gives wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He rises the poor from the dust, and he gives life. He lifts the needy out of the garbage pit. He seats them with noblemen and gives them the throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. He has set the world upon them. He guards the steps of the faithful one, but the wicked will perish in darkness. For the man does not prevail by his own strength. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder in the heavens against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give power to his king. He will lift the horn of the anointed. I mean, if Hannah has no doubt in her mind, not even a little bit of who's in charge, she totally trusts God with everything. There's no doubt in her mind about everything that's happened in her life and where God has taken her and how God has provided for her and will continue to take care of her. She truly is faithful and humbled by the greatness of God. How many of you are humbled by the greatness of God? I mean, just think about it. You don't have to raise your hand. It's kind of a rhetorical question. But I hope that you're humbled by the greatness of God when you think about him. When you hear her prayer, you can hear how she is humbled by the greatness of God. And God has blessed her. And then the last awesome mom I want to look at is in Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28. And it is the story of the Canaanite woman. And the Bible doesn't even give her a name. I was like, there's no name. She's just a Canaanite woman. But if I was to name the Canaanite mother, I would say persistent. She's Miss Persistent. Because here's her story. She says, this is what the Bible says, starting in verse 21. When Jesus left there, he withdrew to the area of Tyre and Sidon. And then a Canaanite woman, so this is a woman who's not a Jewish at all, but she's a Gentile. She's part of the Canaanite tribes. And so they wouldn't be welcome amongst the Jews. But here she comes to Jesus, a Jew amongst the Jews, and she is going to ask Jesus for something. Here's what she says. A woman from that region came and kept crying out. She kept crying out, the Bible says. Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. She recognizes who Jesus is right off the bat. Even though the very people right around him, they're not acknowledging that. They're not saying that. But this Canaanite Gentile, she comes in and says, Lord, son of David. Listen to me. My daughter is cruelly tormented by a demon, yet he did not say a word to her. So Jesus doesn't listen to her. He doesn't say a word to her, doesn't encourage her. His disciples approach him and urge him, send her away because she cries out after us, the scripture says. And he replies, he turns and he says this to her. He says, I was sent only for the lost sheep for the house of Israel. I'm not here for you. I mean, imagine that little push right there. How she, that would have caused most people to just turn around and just go. But what does she do? But she came and knelt before him. So she humbles herself before him even more. Knelt before him and said, Lord, help me. He answered, look, he's still going to rebuff her. He's still going to push back. Listen to what he says. He says, it wasn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to their dogs. So it's not right to take the blessings of Israel and give them to the Gentiles. But listen to her faith and her persistence. Here it is. Yes, Lord, she says. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. That is so awesome. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that come off the table. Give me a crumb. Just give me something. Just give me something. And Jesus replied, woman, your faith is great. I mean, just your faith is great. And let it be done as you want. And from that moment, her daughter was cured. From that moment. You know, Jesus could have answered right at the beginning, but he was testing her to see if she was going to be persistent and faithful for her child. And she was. She was. I love this story because it reminds me of moms in my life, stubborn and persistent. Do you have one of those moms in your life who's stubborn and persistent? They don't give up on you. They don't stop fighting for you. They are persistent. It doesn't matter what happens in the world around them. They are not going to stop until you're taken care of. They're just not going to. It's not going to happen. And so you see this Canaanite woman, she is not going to stop asking Jesus for what she needs for her daughter until she gets it. And so we see she's persistent. She didn't give an inch in pleading for her daughter to Jesus. She was persistent and faithful. And listen, God blessed her. God blessed her. Mom, I want to encourage you this morning not to give up. Not to give up. There's times when you want to. No matter what situation you find yourself in, I hope I'm speaking to you right now, and I pray that you're encouraged. That even when your child rebels against everything that you've worked for, and that you're having trouble with them, not to give up on them. To keep being persistent. Keep being the mom that you've always been. Stick with it. Because I'm telling you right now, don't give up. Because you know why? Jesus loves a mom who doesn't give up. Loves her. I'm telling you, he loves her. And we should all love them too. Amen? Amen? And stick with them. This morning we looked at three awesome moms. Dedicated and faithful and persistent. Moms who never gave up. Never. And many of you are blessed by such moms. I'm thankful for moms in my life, and I hope you are also. And I hope as you are reading, as you are listening to these three moms, that you realize that there was a common thread that ran through all three of them. Is their need for Jesus, their need for God to provide for them. And listen, they realized their need. They realize their need. That they need outside help. They can't do it on their own. That they need God to help them. All three of them realize this. And here's the fact that all of us are in need. Every one of us sitting here, moms, dads, doesn't matter if you have children, don't have children, every one of us is in need. Every one of us. We are all sinners. We have all fallen short. And when it comes to a relationship with God, it is broken. And we're in need. We're in need of a Savior. We're in need of some help. Because we can't rescue ourselves. As these women all realized that they couldn't rescue themselves. It needed some help. And all of us need some help. That's why the story of Jesus is so amazing and so beautiful. Because he comes to rescue. He comes to empower. He comes to give us hope. He comes to give us peace with God. He comes to give us salvation. He comes to give us life because he is life. He was buried. He died on the cross, was buried, and he rose again on the third day. Because he rose, I know I too will rise. And so I put my faith in that. I cannot make it through this life without help. I need God. And I especially need Christ. And so this morning, I pray right now, as you're thinking about moms, if you're a mom, I hope you're encouraged. But all of us here, I hope we're realizing our need for Jesus Christ, that we need him. And I pray right now that he is opening up your heart and he is telling you how much you need him. And so as we are going to close this sermon out, I want us to start thinking about it. As we're going to take the Lord's Supper together, we want to think about our need for Christ and be thankful for what God has done for us, that he did. He came on earth and he died. He lived and he died and he rose again. And so as we prepare ourselves, Terry and Roy can come up for the music. As we prepare our hearts for this time, I would ask that you would take time to examine yourself, the Bible says, to take an opportunity to look at your hearts. What is your relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you have one? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to come up to the table and to take the bread and the juice, and you remember that Jesus died for you, that he shed his blood for your forgiveness of sin, and that he was buried and he rose on the third day. So we celebrate that life. We celebrate the time what Christ has done for us through the Lord's Supper. So I'm going to ask you to come up. But I would ask you as you're coming up that you would be reflective, that you would think about what Jesus has done for you. And at the same time, if you're here and you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, that you would come. Come pray with me. Come pray with me. Let's talk about a relationship with Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be a Christ follower? What does it mean to put your faith in Jesus Christ? And let's have that conversation while others are getting the elements. So I'm going to ask Joaquin and Jacob if you could come stand at this other table, and if Richard could come forward, and if you can't stand up, for whatever reason you can't come up and get the elements yourself, I pray Richard will come around and he will deliver them to you. So as they're coming up, I'm just going to invite you to come get the elements and hold on to them, and we'll take them all together. All right? So you come.